Welcome to the Ecom Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Sinkula, CEO of Digital Dawn, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. Here on the Ecom Profit Podcast, I open Pandora's box and share with you and other ecom business owners weekly topics that will help you explode your business online. I outline my tried and true secret sauce, the D2D method, that's guaranteed to bring your business results. As an entrepreneur myself, I try to pull out all the same entrepreneurial passions in others. So get ready to be fired up about your business and let's have a great time. Welcome to the Ecom Profit Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Ecom Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Sinkula, and today we have the lovely Irina Miller with us, who, Irina, gosh, I was trying to think back, like, when you and I met the first time, and I think it's been like 3-4 years already, maybe even longer. I don't know how long it's been, but we've been in the same circles for quite a while now. So Irina, yeah. Irina is energy alchemist, a healer extraordinaire, a woman of all things, beauty, meditation, chakras, yoga. Oh my gosh, all the things. But I'm going to let you introduce yourself, Miss Irina, and then we're going to get into today is going to be a really interesting session because we're going to talk a lot about how meditation and business flow together. But before we get into that, introduce yourself, Miss Irina.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dawn. And it is always so interesting when our paths cross with someone. I truly believe in synchronistic moments. And it's been such a joy knowing you over the years. And it's come to the point now where, yeah, I feel like I've known you forever in a good way. So trying to pinpoint that moment in time when we met is challenging. But I consider myself very much a spiritual life guide, what I call an energy alchemist. Because part of my joy is helping people really trust their gut instinct confidently. And I do this through a variety of means, meditation being one of those practices. But ultimately, it's to enable people to follow their hearts and not feel like they're living someone else's life, but pursue their passion fully and outright without fear.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you have, I guess what I would like to say is like a PhD in all things energy, healing, yoga, all sorts of stuff. Give us just like a little snippet of some of the background that you've had and how you kind of came into this space.
Yeah, thanks. For me, it is, yeah, anything that has to do with connecting to our gut instinct, to the spirit has been a big draw for me. And in the 90s, I was drawn to yoga. So for me, because I wasn't comfortable physically, I was very tight. I was very tense. Stress was out the roof with school. And a friend dragged me to a yoga class and I felt so relaxed. I couldn't believe it. So for me at that point, I pursued my full certification. I opened up the brick and mortar yoga studio. And the more that I taught, the more I realized how many emotions people were holding in their body. If you think of like, oh, my boss is a pain in the neck or pain in my rear, or, you know, people would say, oh my gosh, you know, that person just ticks me off. They started to realize how much of their feelings were being released in these physical yoga postures. But what was happening was they'd come to class, they'd feel great, and the emotions would still be there. Mm-hmm. And the problem would come back. So the pattern wasn't being relieved. So then what I ended up doing was pursuing energy healing and I became a Reiki master. And from there, it was a natural progression into, okay, well, now that I'm processing these limiting beliefs and these energetic misbalances, why am I here? What am I meant to be doing? And astrology was the next natural progression in that chart. So I bring a lot of practices to the forefront when I work with people.
And you have kind of an interesting background even prior to that, because you did more of like the corporate gig before you kind of started into this, which I think is a very interesting transition, because a lot of times people who are, and well, you're very much kind of a data nerd. So I think sometimes a lot of people who like us, data nerdy people, don't often easily transition into what some classify as more of the woo space, right? So tell us a little bit of that background, just so people can kind of anchor in your prior to life.
Yes. Well, you know, and one of the things for me is I love spotting patterns, and data has been a great way to do that. And it enables you to tell a story. And so in school, I pursued data science and management information systems, so I could build these beautiful structures and systems to help bring, you know, corporate dreams to life. I ended up doing a lot of programming and web design as well, and even worked for Microsoft Gold Partner. And then in the evenings, what I did was I moonlit as a yoga teacher. And that was always a blast. And the turning point for me was when I found out I was pregnant with my son. It was, do I keep the 80-hour consultant Microsoft Gold Partner gig, or do I open up my own business and pursue my heart's dreams? And taking that leap of faith, I mean, I get chills just thinking about it now, because it's like, am I going to leave a stable, good paying job to pursue this, you know, intangible kind of woo, hippy dippy patchouli stuff?
I love that.
But, you know, the practices over the years that I learned, I realized that it was in my DNA and my heart to blend the worlds and to open up my own business.
Well, so many of us, myself included, people who listen, we can all, you know, appreciate that quite a bit of taking that step, right? To sort of, I don't know, trust your own guts, right? And understand it. And I think the work that you and I have done together has been interesting, because we've not only been part of different mastermind groups where we are learning together different sales techniques or different ways to enhance our own businesses, but we've also worked together as far as you helping me with energy healing and clearing and meditation and things like that. And I think a lot of times people don't necessarily understand or know how to put some of those practices in place for their business. So let's talk a little bit about, I guess, some of the experiences that you've had with business owners that you've worked with, and why is it so important that as an entrepreneur in particular, that you have some sort of meditation, energy, healing practice that you're using on a regular basis?
Yeah. And this is a great question, because I know meditation for many people just want to roll their eyes. Like, I hear it's good for you, but I can't sit still. My mind is constantly going a million miles a minute. And I have a client like that. You know, a lot of the people who come to me, they find that they're shiny object syndrome focused, where something is always catching their attention, like the squirrel. And some of them do have ADHD, but that ability to pick a path and stick with it so that they see success in their business has been a point of frustration. So they come to me and they say, what's going on? Every time I reach that level of success, I sabotage myself, or people tell me I can't focus, or I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm not getting anything done. And more often than not, it's because of the distractions, whether it's due to something like ADHD, or they're just trying, you know, the next shiny object that comes their way. The meditation clears the noise out. And when I start working with someone, I also explain to them that meditation is just about being in the zone. It's about being able to be so completely immersed in the moment that time goes by and you look up and you're like, that was an hour? That was 2 hours? What happened? That's meditation. So what that means is that you don't have to sit in lotus in the corner going humana, humana, humana. You can do lots. I mean, athletes get into the zone. Yeah. They get into a meditative state. So just like we learn, some of us are auditory, visual, tactile learners. It's the same thing with meditation. Some people need a visual meditation. They need to be able to look at something, not have their eyes closed. Some people need a moving meditation. So my client that I mentioned at the beginning, we discovered for her, rowing is her meditation. She's on her little rowing machine and she goes into a meditative state of being. Sitting in a corner would drive her nuts. She has a very busy mind. The other thing that helps with that is bringing in something like astrology. And you can say, well, listen, your soul's potential, your spirit came in here to be an idea generator. So you are going to be getting a lot of ideas all the time. It's not going to be easy to And no one should ever try to empty their mind. That's not the goal of meditation. The goal of meditation is to be single focused. And so she knows, well, for me to be single focused is a challenge. So the only way that I can find respite is on the rowing machine. And the benefit of that is that she feels like she's accomplishing tasks when she goes back to her desk in the afternoon after like a lunchtime rowing session, as opposed to I keep spinning my wheels. I've got 10 projects going at once. I'm not getting anywhere. She has that energy because she has more thinking space in her mind. It's not so crowded.
Well, that's a really good point. Several things that you said about, you know, athletes and other business people. And I know there are several famous people who use meditation, right? Athletes are one piece of that, but a lot of business people, and we were just talking before we started recording that I think it was Steve Jobs, you were saying, has been known for, like, he knew, kind of had this meditation practice that he was in and things like that. Is that right? Am I capturing that correctly?
And a big thing for him was trusting your gut instinct.
Trusting your gut. Yeah.
We can get all the data we want. And one thing that I do know is that it really depends on who's reading the data, because the story can go in a lot of different directions.
Right.
So we have to be able to trust our gut, you know, and really say, is this truth that I'm hearing? Does this ring true? And people like Dan Harris, who was a reporter and a journalist for ABC, had a panic attack on live TV. And these feelings, especially if we're someone who's very much, you know, we watch the news or the media and we feel it so intensely, we can't sleep at night, we're worried and we're anxious, what might be considered an empath. Mm-hmm. These situations that trigger us, when you have something like a meditation practice, which Dan Harris wrote a whole book about it, and finding that joy again, it shifts the way you interact with the world. You're less likely to get those panic attacks. You're more likely to trust your gut and not just go with something because somebody tells you to do it.
Yeah. And I think it's so true. Every really successful entrepreneur that I have ever talked to, I always heard them say they have some sort of meditation practice, or they have something where, it, you know, meditation is a word, like you said, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people sitting in the corner, kind of doing the humming and what have you, but some sort of practice where they're trying to calm their mind or they're in their zone or whatever that looks like. And I think so many people who are in that successful space have taken time to really understand what works best for them, how to leverage that, how to sort of use that as time and space to come up with these ideas. Or, you know, after you kind of meditate, I think you kind of get this rush of like clarity or things like that. But let's just say, for example, our listeners don't know what meditation is, or they've never meditated before, and they want to get to that kind of state of being to themselves, or something that they could do. How do you just kind of start meditating if I've never started before and I feel like I need to? What do I do to kind of start through this process?
Wonderful question. And what the yogis knew, and why I love being able to have all of these different practices I bring together, is that the physical body needs to be in a state that can handle meditation. And what does that mean? Well, it means that either you can sit for a period of time, or that you don't have all this nervous, fidgety energy where it makes it difficult to be still. So some kind of movement practice in the beginning is great. Mm. I really encourage people when they first start meditating. I know a lot of people say and encourage, you know, meditate first thing in the morning when you wake up. It's easier because we're not completely consumed by the day. We don't have all these demands on our time yet. But as a mom, even though my kids are much older now, I have fur babies. They have other plans. So it can be difficult to roll out of bed and roll into a meditation.
Yeah.
What I have discovered is that each person is different. They have to find the time of day that's right for them. But if they have any kind of little movement beforehand, or they simply do a walking meditation, they go out into their neighborhood, they don't have the headphones on, they just simply walk with the intention to take in the sights and the sounds. Something like that in the beginning is the best thing to do, because what you're doing is you're cultivating the stage or the space for a deeper practice that enables you to either sit for longer periods, which requires flexibility and core strength, or to simply be able to just move the body and get into that state of peacefulness without distraction.
Well, that's pretty easy. That seems pretty easy that you could just start walking and taking that as part of your first step towards meditation. But the key to that, I think you said, is don't put the headphones on. Don't listen to the podcast. Don't have your mind going 1,000 miles a minute while you're walking. Go out, listen, try to calm your mind or take in the sounds and smells and all the things and use that as your first step of meditation. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Just nice and easy. Go out
for nice and easy. Well, that seems easy.
Yeah. Then we'll graduate to the next level.
Right. And so people who are, you know, trying to think about this and give us maybe some examples of people that you've worked with where you've seen this practice of meditation actually really help them overcome maybe some of their business challenges or personal challenges that they've had. So you've worked with, you know, hundreds of people at this point now in your career. And I know you've got, we'll call them case studies, but real world examples of people who maybe were anti meditation or anti something, and now they've used it and had really great success and been able to see success in their business, not only just because of that, but because of the things that meditation can actually do for you.
Yeah. Well, one person that comes to mind, one of my clients who's a publisher and an author, she helps people. Her message is really everybody has a story. And she draws in and attracts people who sometimes have mental health issues and are sharing the process of their journey. And it's quite emotionally intense. And what she finds is that she will go in and support them so much that after leaving a call with them, she'll be emotionally and energetically drained. She's exhausted. The other thing too is that because she wants to help and make such a difference, she has given in the past away a lot of her services without necessarily charging or charging her value. And it leaves this feeling of just burnout. And it can even go into resentment. So for her, one of the things that was so beautiful was the ability to say, I need to get everybody else's emotional drama out of my space. Their stories are impactful. I'm going to help get them out to the world, but I'm not here to fix them or heal them. I'm here to help support the story. Mm-hmm. And what she discovered, what we worked on together, was a moving meditation was best for her. She's been at the computer all day long. She's been sitting. She doesn't need to sit anymore. She lives in a warmer climate. So getting out for her and walking has been invaluable. And by simply walking and just listening, whether it's to bird song or the wind in the trees, just taking into account the colors, like you're taking in your environment. What you're doing is you're bringing all your senses to life. Because what happens is, you know, think about when you get into your car and you drive somewhere. Usually, you know, we just kind of wake up when we arrive, like, oh, I arrived
here.
I don't even remember the in-between. Maybe because we were listening to a podcast or we were talking to someone on the phone or leaving a message or listening to an audiobook. Who knows? But we don't, that in-between time, that transition is so important because that's the journey. The destination, that's great when we get there, but the journey, as we know and we've been taught over all these years, that's the magical piece and the component. So as my client would walk, she was paying attention to the journey, the transitions to get from point A to point B. And what she started to discover was that she would get these little moments of insight and inspiration just by being out in nature. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, a bird that she saw and she said, oh, I'm going to go up home and look up the symbolism of this. You know, what does this mean for me? Or she might just have that final opportunity where some people have heard of grounding or earthing. We get outside into Mother Nature. At another client, she said, oh, my mom always makes fun of me because I love to sit on my front porch with my plants. And I call it like my de-stress happy zone. And she's making fun of me. But scientists have shown that plants, they give off this beautiful energy. It's basically what they're doing is giving off negative ions, which help counteract too many positive ions in our space and neutralize us. So it's calming and peaceful. Forest bathing, as the Japanese have discovered and shared with us.
Yeah.
It heals the spirit. So she was able to incorporate, my client, that walking meditative practice, and she's expanded her business now. She can take on more clients. She's not as exhausted. She's been able to set up the healthy boundaries and go to these book festivals and be able to be present to promote her authors and also to welcome in new ones. So it's been exciting to watch.
Yeah. And I think that's a really great way to kind of look at first steps of meditation is, you know, it's really meant we spend a lot of time worrying about our food. We spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, our mental health and physical health and our business health and our financial health. But the meditation piece really, to me, kind of brings all of that together in a really, easy way, I guess, or a simplistic way. It's not easy to do. At least for me, it's not easy to do. I struggle with meditation a lot, but I think I've gotten better over time because I haven't put such parameters or stereotypes on myself of what, you know, meditation is supposed to be. Because I was one of those where I was thinking you need to sit quietly in the corner and just kind of, you know, sit and don't speak and put your fingers up and just kind of, you know, and I can't do that. You know, I just can't do that, but it really does help sort of your overall being. And we don't spend a lot of time talking about the benefits of meditation as it relates to business, as it relates to mental health, physical health, all those types of things. I think a lot of people just don't know how to do it or what to do. So I think that's a really good practical example that you've given, but I know you have tons and tons more, you know, of clients that have helped you, and you've got courses and you've got other programs and things like that. And I know people often talk about yoga and meditation going together, but I've also heard, and I don't want to go too far into the woo space, but I've also heard a little bit about, you know, your chakras, right? And how your chakras are important. So for people who maybe don't even know what chakras are, start with what is a chakra? What are those? And how does that work into a meditation? Or how do I think about that as it relates to kind of my overall health and well-being?
Yeah, great question. Think of it like a filter. So it's a filter in which you process all the information coming your way. So for example, let's say you grew up in a family that said, oh, what do you think? Money grows on trees? Or you grew up in a family where love, you know, it wasn't very demonstrative. Love was withheld until you performed a certain way or you did a certain action. Well, that shapes you internally, emotionally, energetically. So when you go out into life, you bring those filters with you, not only in what you share and send out to the world, but also in how you receive. So when my clients come to me, they might come to me. So here's an example. I had a client who was very frustrated in her business. She hadn't been able to get it up off the ground. As soon as it would come to a point of success and she was getting ready to bring it out into the world, something would happen. She'd self-sabotage. She's like, what is going on here? And when she looked, when she looked back, what she discovered was she had this really incredible business where she was manufacturing these pottery, like planters, and it was got into the Martha Stewart magazine. It was getting ready to launch like in Home Depot and some of these other, you know, landscapes and gardening stores. And her space that she had been using for manufacturing, all of a sudden the plug got pulled on it. And because it was a family business, she had been able to produce at a lower cost rate. And with that being turned off, she had to stop and close her business. But she never got a chance to grieve that business. It hadn't been able to be essentially birthed into the world right at the point where it was so ready for success and being brought out into the world, the plug got pulled. But she never was able to officially say goodbye to it in her heart and grieve it and let it go. So she was always holding on to it. And that was affecting other areas in her new business. And so that is one way that her energy center, her chakra, that filter essentially, that was helping her digest, you know, this is what happens. You get to that point. You're so ready to bring it out into the world. It's so exciting. Martha Stewart is highlighting it. Home Depot wants you. The world wants you. And then it all gets destroyed.
Yeah.
So there's fear then, and that becomes a block. So when you look at energy centers or chakras, what you're doing is you're saying, let's look at the programs inside me of the way that I'm interacting with the world and the way the world is interacting with me. Because essentially what it does is it tells the world how to treat you. energy centers. So when you look at the deeper areas, the programs that are in there, or the stories or beliefs, you can make some monumental shifts in your success.
That's a really amazing and easy way to understand chakras is just, and I think that you can say it several different ways, chakras and all the things we've talked about that before. Right. And I think, you know, I guess I never really thought of it as kind of like your filter, your energy filters and how you see the world through those, or how you make decisions or how you don't make decisions or how you perceive things. And having some clarity around that and using meditation to help clarify those different points of filtration, for lack of a better word, is so important when you're kind of trying to figure out what's going on or what's not working, or maybe why you're self-sabotaging or blocking yourself a little bit. So having a filter, I think that's a great way to kind of describe chakras as your filter center.
Yeah.
What's blocking you? Right. That's so good. So as we kind of wrap up here, you know, you and I could probably talk for hours on these different topics. And we just really started to like tip of the iceberg on meditation and chakras and things like that. I know you have lots of different programs and courses. You actually have like a chakra meditation type boot camp, right? That people can go through. Tell me a little bit about that program and who that's good for.
Yeah, this is a program that's really good for the person who keeps running into the blocks and they're wondering why. Like, I've tried all the things, you know, I've tried to eat better, I've tried to exercise, I've tried the meditation, you know, it just isn't working. So when they feel like they've reached that spot where that point of success is so within reach, but they keep falling short, when you take a deeper look at what's happening internally with those beliefs, with those programs, all of a sudden you can make a quantum jump and really the world opens up in a whole new level. So the idea of this beautiful energy boot camp and meditative practice is to enable people to say, how can I learn how to trust my gut and figure out where I might self-sabotage myself? And then how do I get rid of those sabotaging things, like a limiting belief or an old ancestral pattern? And we go through the process of how to do that exactly on many different levels, physical, visual, meditative, auditory,
all the things,
all the ways of learning.
Well, and I think that's it's a great program for people who are interested in this space, who need some more direction, who maybe have, tried things, thought about things, or even if you haven't, I think this is a good starting point for a lot of people just to kind of get into the filters and the blocks and the what's happening internally. I think it's a really good program for people who are interested in just taking it to the next level. So, okay. So we'll drop the links for that in the show notes so everybody can check that out. But I guess before we go, any last tips or meditative tips that you want to give people before we sign off on how best to maybe do some self-soothing?
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things to know is that emotions are contagious, just like cold germs. And that a lot of times we're walking around with big feelings and emotions that don't belong to us fully. So if you take just a moment to welcome in a deep breath and to ask yourself, how much of this belongs to me versus how much it belongs to someone else, the world would really be a different place, because most often you'll realize you're carrying around a lot for other people and you don't have to, not in that way.
That's a great place to end. Okay. So Irina, I know people are going to be really interested in checking out more about you. Where can they find out about you? We'll drop the link to the Chakra Bootcamp in the show notes, but where can they find you on social media?
Thank you. So yeah, come hang out with me on Instagram. The handle is Irina K. Miller. So Instagram.com, Irina K. Miller. And then you can also hang out with me on Facebook. Irina K. Miller there as well.
And she's got a great group, Facebook group, if you want to join that too, where she does some energy readings and weather reports and some really interesting, cool things happening in there. card readings, and you kind of go in deeper with some of this stuff. So if you're interested in that, we'll link that there too in the show notes. But thank you so much, Irina, for joining us. This was just a beautiful taste of all the things amazing Irina can do for you and your business, and how you can really help yourself with Irina's support and help get yourself grounded and focused and make some major shifts. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dawn, for having me.
All right, everybody, until next time, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like what you've heard, I'd be so grateful if you'd leave a review. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to see if you're a good fit to work with the Digital Dawn team, head over to digitaldawnagency.com/contact and let's book a call. Thanks so much again, and until next time.